Okay, well, like I said, and when I was 14, I was recruited here as a cane cutter. And in the recruiting process, and you have to be examined, and if you pass the test, then you'll be notified, you know, what time that you'll be flown to America. Then when you come to the company or farmers, whoever you might be, then you will meet what you have a supervisor, which this supervisor, he's we call him a labor supervisor. In other words, he supervises all the foreign laborers. They'll keep up with the working, whatever problem you have, there is someone there that you can take it to. Now, on your first day morning and going to work, you are being given, well, first, before that, you'll ask, do you have work clothes? If said yes, well, fine. If said no, well, the company, they'll furnish the work clothes. And after you furnish work clothes, then you'll be given all what we call, we use the word gears, which means your tools, like your machete, some call it cane knife, file. Then you'll have a bag, all your safety equipment, glasses and stuff, all that will be in this bag. So it make it much easier, you know, as you were to keep up with it. Then you have what you call shin guards. In other words, those shin guards, excuse me, it strops right across your shoes from here on up to your knee. So when you swing that knife and you miss it, then it'll take the shin guard instead of your foot. See? Okay. And when you first reach the, what we call the work site, okay, the scratch foreman and will be instructed by the foreman for the cut and tell you in how to line these men up. What we'll call for first is all you men that have cut cane before, you come forward. We'll line those up. And each man will be assigned to two single rows, what we call a cut row. Two single rows make one cut row. Two men cut two single rows piled together, which would be four rows. And that's what we call a pile row, which consists of four rows, because your rows are 5 feet apart. And if you should have, you might ask yourself, well, why not let a man cut a single row? No, you'll get cut, because the rows are 5 feet apart, it's too close. So you have to have, you know, room to, in other words, to swing your knife. Then, after these old men that lined up first, then you probably watch them cut maybe 5 or 6 steps, you know, and you just walk along. Then you'll be given your rows. And you have a period of what we call 8 days of training. In other words, that is how to cut your cane, you know, cut the stool down, your top, how to pile it and so on. Because if you have never done a job, then I think it's not but right that you should be taught how to do the job. And that's what we do. Then after this 8 days, normally everyone becomes a cane cutter. Now you'll have fast cane cutter and you'll have slow cane cutter. But they all are cutters. And you'll have some that probably, and like I said, all depends on the tonnage of the cane. A man can cut you 2 rows. He'll cut you 1, 1 1/4, 1 1/2. Just all depends on the tonnage. Then you only work on 8 hours per day. Then after the 8 hours is up for that day, then you'll be transported back to the camp. Some call it, some you might call it a village or whatnot, until the next morning you come back to work, which normally you have 6 days a week work. And sometime if, well, which these men that come here, they wouldn't care less. They'll work 7 days a week for the cutting. Or what they need, see, they came here to make money. And they know that they can make more money here than they can home. So if you have work, they'll work. So they don't care too much about off, what they call off day, which would be normally rest day. What they want is, the more money they make, the better off they'll be. Because some of these same cutters will take this money here and do farming home. So how do they do it? Well, they'll hire two or three people working the farm back home while they're here working. See? So, and then all the kids, schooling, oh yes. It's many have been graduated from college through with sugarcane right here because of the main continent. And like we said, well, some places, and even us, your sugar, they use our machines to cut. But I don't care how much machine you bring in. You need hand cutters. Because it's a lot of reason why you need hand cutters. One, no one knows when there's a freeze coming. Sometimes the weather might predict, well, in the morning temperature might be, said, 40 degrees. Next thing you know, something happens. It's dropped down, you see frost in the ground. And the next time, you know, might have a freeze, which they'll warn you to a certain limit. But we do not know when you can get freeze. If it just hit the bud, then that's fine. But sometimes it might come from the bud, pass down to, let's say, halfway the stalk. And if the stalk is on 6 feet of cane, and it come down, which I have give orders to cut a stalk of cane in two because of freeze damage. So the advantage you have is on machine, you cannot say machine, we need to cut it halfway. That don't work. A machine will cut the whole stalk. But just in a normal season, we're in no freeze, whatnot, sure, machine can help you out. But again, using machine in cutting cane, you'll have to dis that feel more regular. Because I don't care how good the operator is, because I have operated myself. Because before I even get this far, I started as a cane cutter. All the jobs on the farm, I have did it. I have hoed the grass. I have run the tractors. I have dissed the field. I have planted the cane. I do it all. Right on through to a field operator, and from there to a foreman. I've did all this work, see? And it's really a job that we have to always recognize the fact that sugar cane is, we have to have sugar. And it is very expensive in producing sugar cane because one, labor is high, on several different things in there, which some I wouldn't even dare to go in, to mention about it. So, if we would talk about choking more, from, like the old saying, it's you start at home, then you spread abroad. You know, in the county, everyone get interested in choking. We got to have it. This whole surrounding towns, right around the lake, it's all built up on this sugar industry. And in fact, when I came here, my father-in-law, he was a scratch foreman. And well, he was working here from back in the early 40s, I think somewhere around 1943, something like that. Could be even a little bit earlier. And from then on through, all these people, see, it's just one generation out and another one coming in, you know, all in the sugar until this town right here, where we sitting at right here, I have loaded cane. Oh yes, all this town back in here. That's right, this town looking up here was cane fields. And I've run machine and load cane up right over here. That's right. So, as the company started growing, then so goes the town. If the company fall, I guarantee the town will fall too. So, we need keep the sugar going. Whatever possible. But one of the things that really hurt us, that maybe you and I can't do anything about it, but we need a little better price. No, the sugar price, it's not quite for the expense on it. I would like to see if sugar price can go up some. That's right, because right now there are so many things that you have to do to cut back to survive. See, you have to. And what this would mean, as far as I can see, coming to us, if something don't happen to sugar price, it will be more people hitting the street. Now, when they hit the street, now who's going to feed them? Well, going right back food stamp or back to the government. When long as we can keep the show going, they can hire the people. They can work them. But we got to get the price for the sugar. Because right now it's tight now, and there ain't no way you can do it. You got to tighten your belt, all of us, to survive right now. It's really hard. And it means layoff, which a lot of companies, as soon as the harvest season over, we're end up in hiring these people all year round for what we call a seasonal job. I mean, a yearly job. It cuts from a yearly job to seasonal job. Because I know friends of mine been working for their company for several years. And as soon as the season went down, they was paid off and said, well, we are sorry, but we'll see you next season. So all these farmers, if something don't happen fast and quick, is a lot of these farmers won't be in business. Now, I work for the company, and as far as I can see, if I have some money invested out here in this sugarcane business, and the way it's going now, before you go under, you'd have to throw it out in. I mean, just throw your hand in. It's really hard. And if anyone tell you now that, oh, it's flourishing, no, ma'am, it's not. It's really hard. And whatever that we can do to help in this business here, really, I think they need to do it. And that is from the little ones coming up through the generation. That's right. You see, I doesn't just see this area as for me, because at my age now, well, like I said, been here all these years, you know, but when I look around the town and see this little children coming along, going to school, okay, from school and from high school, then on through to college, then what I'm trying to do is would like to have something built so that when they come out, they can replace all of us. You see, they won't replace us all at 1 year, but each year it'll be so many coming in, and we just keep it going. So what we got to have is the foundation been laid, all right, it's here. What we have to do is to continue to keep it on. And right now, I'm telling you, it's real hard, especially when it comes to sugar. Now, what's amazing to me is you go to the store and you say, well, a honey bun probably costs 45 cents. The next time, this product will go up. Well, we have, this stuff is sweet. But sugar price, oh, let's see, from all these years, we have a couple of times sugar price just jump right to what they call sky high. No, I would like to see it that way. No, because they see it go up, it'll come down. But a normal, stable price, we're in it, all the farmers can survive and employ these people. And then we'll have a better community. Because we'll have more money to spend, to beautify the place, whatever. More money to expansion in farming, stuff like that. And no doubt about it, you got to have farm. I don't care how much schooling that you go to, you got to have farm. Because food is number one. We got to have sugar. Now, this Pepsi Cola, in some of these stores, one little a Pepsi Cola or Seven Up, Pepsi Cola and Coca-Cola, 60 cents for one little bottle. And ever since I've been here, that price has been going up, and still. But far as sugar, no, up, down. And right now, where it's at now, there ain't no way you can go no lower. Any lower than this, there ain't no way you can buy even spray to spray fields. So it's a hard work. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. Then now in the harvest season, now this is the one after. If you want me to explain a little bit to you, like from the planting. Okay, the first thing you do is you have to disc the land. That's costly right now. Land preparation, we call it. Maybe half a mile from to our west of us right now, we have some pans running over there, hauling dirt, trying to fill holes up, what we call land preparation. That's expensive. Then from your land preparation, okay, you are normally said, we used to plant cane in August, which planting in August, and we go back, if you don't have a freeze, sure, you'll have plenty of tonnage next year, next season. But if you get hit with a freeze and your cane is, say, probably 3 foot high, then what you have is from each stalk, once the terminal bud is being killed, from each stalk you'll have several little shoots, what we call a parachute, of that one stalk. No, that's bad for you. You don't want that. You want the stalk of cane to come from the ground all the way up until harvest time. And that will give you a better quality of sugar. And that's what we, I know this company try to shoot for. Number one, the quality sugar. And after you plant the cane, then you come up harvest time. That's not an expensive way, because machines, I remember some years gone by when I used to run a harvester, a stack pump probably might would have cost in, when it first started, though, about $2,000. Then after we started running, then they start jumped to $6,000. One stack pump for you to run your hydraulic thing. See? So it's just expensive all the way around trying to make money out of sugarcane. And then bringing in all your offshore workers, which without them, then you can hang it up. Because the amount of the amount of acres of cane throughout the Everglades that we have to harvest, and you don't have men to harvest it. Now I've had the experience of Americans cutting all the cane here. Yes, I don't care what you pay. You can pay $1,000 for one cut row. Oh yes, you have people here will go and cut that one cut row and make $1,000. But this harvest is depend up on, it might be for 4 months. So if you work Monday, I need for you to work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And that's the difference between the offshore workers and the workers here, from my experience. The offshore worker will work 7 days a week for you, providing you have work for them to do. The Americans, simple. They'll work a day or two for you. But then when you lay off, what you gonna do? And after they lay out 2 or 3 days, then come back to work. No, you cannot harvest like that. Because once you burn this cane, it have to be harvest within certain limit of time. Because if you don't, then it may as well run that down. It's sour on you. That's right. In other words, you burn the cane today, and we'll cut it tomorrow. Because normally we do not burn it and put the men in to cut it now. We'll burn today, cut tomorrow. So, you know, it'd be cool. All that ash and stuff, the dew overnight, you know, and, have it settled to the ground. And once you put fire to it and burn it, within so many hours, you have to cut this cane. Get it to the mill. And once that mill is started, it's been rolling to the lice. Because if rainfall catch you, then you have problems. So the best thing to do is as soon as you get it cut, have it harvest, take it to the mill, grind it. But have it stay in the field after so many hours, then you got a problem. And then what that will do is your yield will drop your yield. And you can't afford that, because remember that overhead expense that you already have on you, if you come harvest time, you got to try to make all that you can so that you can cover the expense and try to make some money off it. And it's just hard. Because sometimes working for the company and myself, I just feel sorry for the farmers. Really, I do feel for them. And whatever that I can do to help, I just try to do my very best. I give my best shot. And one of the things is, I just love farming. I love farming. So I just call myself a farmer. Although it is not my money, it's not my land, I just love to farm. From a kid coming along, I just love farming. And I'm glad I am a farmer, and I'm hoping to retire as a farmer. No, it's the sugarcane business here. It's a whole lot to it. And someone just passing through, you know, and say, well, what is that? Sugarcane. Well, let's take when you go to the store and you buy 5 pounds of sugar or 2 pounds of sugar, and you looked at it. Well, we see you got evergreen sugar. Well, it's been made from a sugarcane. It's not like that. It's some hard sweat in that 5 pound sack. because irrigating, okay, you have to have, it's so many things that you have to have. You got to have water. Sometimes you don't have the normal rainfall like you want to, especially in the growing season, like when spring comes. Okay, if you have a normal amount of rainfall, then your cane will grow for you. But if you don't have that, what you have to do is you have to bring your water table up. So that means you got to have water. And in farming, you got to have water two ways, in and out. It might be clouds overhanging you and you might get 3, 4, 5 inches of rainfall. Yes, we have it right here. Has 6 inches at one fall. With your cane surface of the ground being covered with water. What you have to do then, you have to get that water off, because if you don't, then what it do is rot the root. And then you lose again. That's right. So you've got to have somewhere to put that water. That water got to come off that field. If you don't, that means loss of our production, cut your yield. And then if you don't have water, so goes the same. That nice green patch of cane, it just withers right up. And some of these are sandy area, and you pass, you see, well, some of the cane fields, some short and some tall. Well, probably about a little over half a mile from here, you might see some along the road here, and that's it. Some short, some tall. Because in sandy soil, especially, you have to have water. You have to get that water in when you want it and get it off when you want it. You can say, well, we have drinks of rainfall, too much water. Well, probably another week or so from now, we'll try to get some off. No, it doesn't work that way. From the moment that surface water rises, you have to try to get that water off that field. Then, I mean, get it started running. Because what it does, see, you have what's called your feeder roots. And by irrigating, your feeder roots will spread right across the 5 foot center of your roof from one to the other, which is 5 foot, and just all the way across it. When your water table is up to a certain level where we hold it at, then your roots are right there. So when all water come and top in there, and if you don't hurry and get it off, what it do, it rot those roots off. Then that cane have to send out new roots. And what that does is cut your growth. And anything in cutting your growth, that means cutting yield. Production is being dropped on through that. So we have to help ourselves. That's why you might see a lot of pumping stations on. You got to have them. If you don't have them, you can just quit farming. Because this land is flat land. It's not place where it's mountainous, like, you know, on the hillside where you want to, it's all flat land. And you have to have the proper drainage. So you get water in and out to farm this stuff. Oh, it's hard work. It's hard work. And along with the hard work, our manager and so on, I feel sorry for them too. They have a headache. And especially what I'm hearing here now about back pumping, I feel sorry for all of us. Something got to be done. But we got to have water in and out. So I don't know how they're going to work this one out, but I just wish that some way, somehow, they all will come together and look over this as a whole. Lake Okeechobee here, all right? I'm sure no one don't want to see that lake die. No one. All right, at the meantime, farmers, okay, no pumping in. What we going to do? Because we just, they ain't know the answer for it. You got to have somebody to send that water. Because I'm sure, as I'm sitting here, that you will have times when you're going to have too much rainfall. And that means you've got to pump that water out to somewhere. So hopefully that somebody, somewhere out there, all get together and come, you know, to really make a study. This is a serious thing. It's serious around this lake now. And they should look into it and see what can we do. Because one, the sugar industry is what keeping this place going. Every homes that are on this lake, further back up in the sandy area where we have a few orange groves and so on, but it's, well, they probably might run into the same thing too, but around here you have milk dairies and so on. Well, they are all farmers. Same for them. You got to have water in and out. So it's just a sad time right now. And where the answer comes from, I really don't know. But as far as you can see, it's hard. It's really hard. So it's, I don't know, but hopefully, right now, our company here is under heavy expansion of trying to, you know, put in more sugarcane. And I'm telling you, they're trying hard. In other words, to help what I see this community, not just our company alone, but all the sugar growers around here, especially U.S. Sugar. Oh, they have did great things, not just for them, for the whole community. That's right. And for them to survive, the workers, for the company, outsiders, in other words, this is the time when everyone needs to just put it on in the pile and stick with them. We got to keep them going, because if we don't, it will be destruction as far as I can see. And then the thing that really gets me though, when I first start working here, and I said, well, how long you'll be here? I said, well, probably next season I'm gone, but here I am all these years. Not just myself alone, you have several men in this area that's been here all their life. And no sugar, that means no job. Where are we going to find a job? Over there is already crowded. You can read the paper, and Eastern Land now thinking about some 1,500 layoff, right? So ain't no need the sugar men heading that way trying to get a job. We got layoff over there. And I think we already got land, plenty of land here. We got the people. What we need is where we at now, is still where we at, on farm. But somebody have to look out for us and see what they can do to help all of us as we try to help them too. And that is from the kids on up through. So when we go, they'll have a place that they can work. And through the generation, we know we have the foundation already been laid. We have to just keep on building that building. That is, keep on farming. We got the farm.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, sure.
I want you to tell me.
Yeah, and there are the houses. Each what we call camp, or they might use the word your village. Either one, same thing. We have so many houses, and for the you have houses for the domestic, which would be the Americans, and housing for the offshore workers. Oh, yes. And the domestic houses, well, the company don't charge them anything for rent. Oh, no. And these houses, at the time when they built them, you take the one I'm living in, that was a $20,000 home when they built it. And right now, you can see the cost of it, and rent in this area here now is some places start, I think, from 275 on up. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, 300, 325, $400 a month for rent. The company charge, how much do they charge us? Zero, nothing. You live free. All you have to do is, furthermore, not just build a house. What it does, the furniture, stove, refrigerator. So all you got to do is put your bed in, buy some grocery, and start cooking. That's right. It's just like that. See? And the offshore workers, okay, which they have a mess hall, and as far as the housing for them, oh, yes, it's fine. Because we have it inspected every year before they come in, you know, we have to have it inspected. And you have to have it in top shape, everything. You know, some places go to faucet, you know, leaky pipes and stuff like that. Rust. Oh, no, we don't have none of that. I know, you can feel free at any time to check our place. They're clean, right? And the men use this. In fact, while they're working, see, we have what you call janitors. While they go to work, then we'll have someone to camp, you know, to clean, scrub the floor. Or, you know, the kid cutting job is so, it's a dirty work, you know, and the clothes might hit the wall, you know, and get some spots in the company, hire people, keep it clean. So where you leave a spot this morning when you come home, they're the most spot there that I got to clean off.
I could use some of those at my house.
See? Yes, this one is a nice, beautiful kid out here. Yeah,
this they don't quite look like they do in the field.
Oh yes, it's the same thing. No, when I first started here, we used to have what you call a hook. You know, on the back of this used to be a hook. Now this hook was used for stripping the. Some people call it the father. Some call it the trash. Some use word as shucks, whatnot. You know, off the cane. But we find out that this hook can be dangerous. You know, when you come over the cut, then that hook can, you know, hook into the leaf and then can cut you. But now in handleless knife, normally, this go back when you recruited men, the recruiting officer, he examined these men. And if a man do office work and one that do farming, the hand is different. Because where is these cones? That means this man was doing some kind of hard work, hand work, in other words. So that make him be able to handle this knife. So when you've been given this knife, now it's in all my days and my experience, I've never seen a man that never used a knife for the first time in his life. One time or the other, he have used a knife. But we have instructed these men, you know, to grip, how they are, grip knife, you know, firmly. And whenever time you cut, make sure. Now, if you are right-handed, that means your key knife is in your right hand. When you cut, your left foot must be behind. So when you swing, and if the knife goes through the cane, see, it will not cut your left foot. But so in other words, your left foot must be behind, right foot forward, a right-hand cutter. For a left-hander, it's just in reverse. See, it's left foot to the front and right foot, because his knife is going to his right foot at all time. So is the right-hand cutter. The knife is going towards his left foot. But now these men, like I said, do farming home. They can really use a knife and handle it. Well, very few times you'll have some to get a cut. But with these extra protection that we have, like a hand guard, you know, to guard your fingers, and then we have this shin guard over here, we have men cut 8, 9, 10, 12 seasons and never get the first scratch. It's fine. You see? And it's just a way of handling it. When it's the cane is wet. Now that's one of the times you have to watch the way you cut. Especially if the cane is lay over. When you try to cut, sometimes your knife will turn a little bit in an angle and then it will slide across your cane. So you have to make sure when you cut, is cut down, so that if it misses, then it'll cut into the earth, because the muck is soft or sand, you know, it's soft. Very few times you have rocky area where you know, you would have to hit some rocks. But then that's one of the things in cutting it. Now once you learn those few little techniques, and the next thing you want to do is, always when you cut, make sure no cane is hanging over, whether you are right-handed or left-handed, because in bringing a knife up when you're coming down to the root, then you want it to be clear. That is, if a cane is overhanging, then what you do, you cut it off. Sometimes you might cut one single stalk or however, but you must keep your root clear so that when you cut, you won't have nothing with your knife. And well, that's probably the biggest part of in cutting it by hand. Yes, cane cutter. Well, yes, I swing this knife mainly at these, which I didn't cut too many. I only cut it for one season. But see, when I wanted to be a wanted to be an engineer, mechanical engineer. So when I heard the noise from them tractors and so on, you know, I said, no, I want to drive on those big tractors. So at that particular time, we were able to drive tractors here at that time. But what make me do it now is, when you want to do a job, the one you're working on now, and you want to go further, then that means you have to do better in what you're doing. In other words, you say, well, I'm doing my best. Can you do a little more? Yes, but you're just holding back. No. You go ahead and put it out. And when you put that out, well, there are someone watching you, and wherever you work at, you have supervisor. And whenever times that we come to a job, you know we are going to pick the one that I see. You know that man or that woman could give me a good job in doing so, in promotion, in other words. And that's how you go. See, always look ahead. And so you want to try a little cutting keys?